Hi, and welcome to Solo Segment Search Chat. I'm Tim Peter. In this episode of Solo Segment Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I talk about how the shift to digital during the pandemic has changed B2B marketing forever, why remote work makes B2B personalization more challenging, why account-based marketing is a business strategy, not a technology, and how savvy B2B marketers use their websites to reach customers no matter where they work today or in the future. All that and more on the latest Solo Segment Search Chat, coming at you right about now. Well, hi, Steve. How are you?
I'll have to be honest, Tim, I'm a little tired. I went on my first business trip this week out to Chicago for a couple of days and took the late flight back, rolled in about 1 a.m. and I'm feeling it a little bit this morning. But, you know, other than that, can't complain.
So what you're saying is you've been home for a year and complaining about the fact that I can't go anywhere, and now you finally took a trip, and the first thing you have to say is, oh, boo-hoo, I'm tired.
Isn't that human nature? But yeah, no, it is funny. You know, Mike and I were chatting, and went out to Chicago to see Mike, and it was like, well, when was the last time we saw one another, like face-to-face? And I think it was like February of last year. So, you know, it certainly has been 14, 15 months, maybe longer.
Yeah, that's
now.
Crazy.
Maybe I can't count. But yeah, anyway, so it's, but yeah, it was just, you're right. All right. I should not complain because it was just lovely to be out of the house. It was a great thing.
Oh, you can always complain to me, Steve.
That's true.
Okay. I'm just having a little fun pulling your pigtails here. So, excuse me. So let's see. We were talking last time about this new report we had on website engagement. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting in the report was that it focuses a lot on how things have changed. And especially when we talk about, you know, 2020, we all know it was a quote unquote unprecedented year. We saw unprecedented change, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
But also, there really was a lot of change, right? We saw some really dramatic changes in people's behaviors, in buyers' behaviors, in the way businesses run their businesses and the like. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's almost like if I comment on that things changed, it's like, you know, pointing out the obvious. So I think we already all really, you know, kind of got, I mean, just look at like the work from home stats. You shared some stuff with me earlier today, but I think we all profoundly felt it, right? Our study, I think the data in our study showed that 46% of, you know, people were working from home last year, and that was up, and I didn't realize it was so low, but like up from a baseline of 5%.
Yeah.
So just the fact that that was a real fundamental shift. And you know what's really interesting about that is, you know, when I was at IBM, you know, we had this, you know, couple almost a decade, but it was certainly multi-year move out of the office, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're, you know, we kind of became location agnostic, right? You'd find the best talent no matter where they were. And if they weren't near an office, then they could work from home. And we kind of slungshot back, you know, into the office because people are more effective in the office, you know, and there was probably some study that they cited there, but you know, back in the, you know, 2015 kind of time period, there was this move, and a couple of big companies, you know, went this way, which was get everybody back in the office because it's the best way to go. And I think what we proved last year was, it doesn't matter so much. But, you know, what we're all concerned with these days, and work from home is a good example of this, is what does last year mean in the context of like the future, right? Where things are going. And I think what we have and are learning about work from home, those lessons are going to transfer to a whole bunch of areas, including digital marketing. But if you look at the data, you know, while it was 46% work from home at its peak last year, and some of the prognosticators are saying, well, that probably could be, you know, 20%, you know, kind of permanently.
Right.
And so That is a quadruplet.
And whether that's 20% of people or whether it's, you know, everybody works from home one day a week or something
right,
like
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Averages out. Right.
But, you know, just a lot has changed, you know, about our notions about the effectiveness of this thing, the technologies that support it, processes, behaviors. You know, I think just in general, people have become a lot more comfortable with looking at video screens, even though, you know, as I learned over the past couple of days, being with someone in person, not as effective. I think in the long run,
right.
We have to have a mix of that. But even if you accept that prognosticators are wrong by 100%, that still means work from home is going to double. And,
right.
You know, I think the lesson that transfers, you know, for almost any discipline, but certainly for marketers, and I kind of think about a framework, you know, investing framework from my finance background, because I'm a finance guy by trade. And, you know, I would be short on the past, right? On all of the techniques and behaviors of the past, those are going to, I would not invest in those. And where I would be long, right? Where I would be investing is the things we learned from last year. And
right.
Do we need to triple, quadruple, whatever multiple you choose of our investments and our changes to support those new behaviors? I don't know what that is, right? I don't know what the factor is, but I think we definitely demonstrated that there are other ways to do business. And one of the things that's relevant to digital marketers certainly is that digital is, you know, it went from being pretty important and an accelerating trend to being really, really, really important and a trend that just is, it's like, you know, it's here to stay. And if you're missing that boat, you're missing that boat.
Well, and before you go there, because I think, first of all, I think you're right, obviously. I mean, we talk about this stuff a lot. But the other thing that I think is worth noting is, you know, this 46% working from home or the 20%, you know, that they're projecting may work remotely and the like, those numbers are actually a little conservative if you're in B2B. Right.
Yeah.
Because the people you're selling to most of the time, you know, if there are obvious cases, we have clients and the like who work with people who have manufacturing plants and all.
Right.
So obviously the people who were in the manufacturing plants are going to continue to be in the manufacturing plants. But many of the people we work with, many of the people we talk to, many of the people who are looking at the kinds of things that we do, you know, are talking to people who work in an office. And
yes.
I bet. I'm going to go out on a limb. You know, that 46% number was of all the respondents to a survey, not just the ones who worked in an office.
If you're a knowledge worker, you have a,
right.
Like if you're Deloitte, if you're Goldman, it was 100%, right? Those people
right.
were just not in the office.
So to your point of going long on, you know, whether it's, you know, 20% is the right number or 10% is the right number, it probably isn't 5%. And so going long on that, you know, makes a lot of sense from that.
Yeah. Betting on digital and these changed behaviors supported by digital. Yes. You'll make a ton of money. If on that boat in the long run.
By the way, I do feel obligated to say, you know, past results are no predictor of future performance.
Right. Well, consult your investment advisor. Sure.
No, that's great. All right. So if this is the case, I mean, well, before we go there, are there other, you know, trends that we've seen over the last year or other things that have come up as a result of, you know, more people working from home and the like that have an impact on people's ability to do digital marketing more effectively?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly now we have what we've seen certainly in our data and what this research report supported was that the buyer behaviors are changing and accelerating towards digital. I don't recall the exact numbers from a report I read probably a year or two ago that talked about, you know, how much content that B2B buyers were consuming before they made decisions. But when you look at the data, you know, in the report that we had put together, you know, it talks about the number of pieces of content, the percentage of visitors who are doing digital online research. You know, Forrester published a report that showed 82% of buyers look at least five pieces of content from a vendor prior to purchase. And, you know, that's at least, right? I mean, that's the basement.
Right.
And so, you know, the behaviors that you know, we see on websites, and I think, you know, we see, and by the way, we see it on our clients' websites. So that's the data that we're seeing, is that there are these, there continue to be these long buying cycles that are supported, or that support their kind of budget cycles. But it's this behavior where they're coming again and again and again to the website. And something like 80% of kind of the information that they need in order to make a purchase decision is consumed before they even contact the company, before they raise their hand and say, you know, I'm Steve and I'm really interested in your stuff and I want to talk to somebody or I want to get a demo, right? They're like 80% of the way there. Right. And when you think about, you know, 60, 61% of these transactions start online, right? No longer it is your sales team. No longer is it event marketing. Although we all hope that, you know, in-person events come back, right? We're all excited about that. But at the same time, that kind of used to be the start of the journey. And I think that it, you know, event marketing is going to be just yet another content opportunity that supports a journey, again, that likely started online. And so, you know, again and again, we're seeing, if you talk about the behaviors I would go long on, right, that I would be investing in the future, it's these behaviors that I think are sticking from last year, from the past year, which is everything starts digital now, right? There no longer is, oh, I went to the trade show and this seed got planted and that's going to nurture. I think that those behaviors are permanently changed. Is it permanently changed for 100% of the population? No. But for a large part of the population, you betcha.
Well, and that gets to a key point. And you and I were talking about this before we started recording, before we hit the record button. But, you know, it's this interesting thing of when people hear people like you or me or others talk about this, there's this tendency to assume that everybody's saying, oh my gosh, this is 100% of... There's this tendency for people to hear that what we're saying is it's going to change 100% of everything. And nobody's actually saying that. What we are saying is, if you knew your business was going to be permanently affected to the tune of 10% or 15% or 20%.
Sure.
Right?
You'd get your attention, right?
You'd probably want to do something about that, sure. Right? So it's not that 100% of the people you've been selling to will not go to trade shows. It's not that 100% of the people you've been selling to, you know, won't pick up the phone and talk to salespeople. It's that a healthy percent, and a percent that affects your bottom line, won't.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And you know, it's funny. Yeah, it was, you know, 40% of people were working from home last year. It'd only be 20 or 10%, right?
Right.
Still, that's two or three times, four times what it used to be. And the same could be said of any marketing tactic that you could run. Yes.
Right.
You know, last year was probably an outlier for consumption of digital content, but it's not going back to what it was in 2019.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that, and again, we don't have data on this number, but I got to imagine, especially for if you were a knowledge worker in B2B, you know, 100% of your, I wonder if there's a solution to this problem, probably was done online last year. And I expect that, you know, again, our data shows 61% of all of these journeys, you know, started online last year. And so if people are starting online and have spent so much time in digital, I think we talked about this in the last podcast, which was, you know, the fact that, you know, we now have these expectations of what's going to happen when we start that journey online. And, you know, it often starts with just, you know, our expectation is that, hey, if you're going to collect my data, make sure you have your cookie message and you tell me what you're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. But I make that trade for value. I mean, the reason so many people probably click that banner and just kind of ignore it is because they think there's value in it, right? They think there's value in, you know, yeah, you're going to track my data, but deliver to me an experience that's going to help me on my journey, not the journey you're on, you, the company is on, or not some generic journey, but can you use that data in a way that is going to help me, you know, improve my knowledge, help me understand, you know, kind of what your offering is, what the sources of my pain might be, and get me to a solution to the thing that's my pain. And those were kind of the top three things that, you know, we found in this study, which was, you know, use my data in a respectful way, help me understand kind of the things I need to understand in order, you know, increase my knowledge about the pain and the sources of my pain, and then get me to some solution to my pain. But it's, again, my pain, a personalized solution to my pain and not just some generic statement that might not be relevant to my case.
Right. So, I mean, I know what one answer to this is going to be, but I'm going to ask anyway. You know, so if you were talking to companies that are new to this, or companies that don't have experience with it, or companies that are, you know, maybe a little further, I don't want to say further behind, but, you know, earlier in their journey to progress in this way, you know, what would you recommend they do? Where do they start? What do they have to think about?
Well, it starts with strategy. And I don't think it's like, you know, you got to go hire McKinsey and spend, you know, $1 million figuring this out. I think it starts with a strategy about personalization. Often, you know, any kind of business problem, you know, many people are like, what's the product that I have to go look at? And, you know, it might be important to take 5 minutes and think about a framework for approaching that problem. And so if your problem is you aren't able to engage people, you know, kind of personally, engage people at a level that is meaningful to them, what are your options? And there are, you know, really three elements in my mind about how to approach personalization. And the first is when you know somebody, right? So when that person is knowable, that's kind of an easy use case. There are dozens of technologies. Some of them are even free, but some of them are low cost. Some of them you could spend $1 million on. But there are lots of technologies that when you have personal data, because this person has shared it in response to a marketing campaign, because the person is either a current or past customer and you might have information on them, they're registered, they're logged in, whatever it is. When you have that personal information, what is the technology and the business processes that you're going to use to address that person? And it's important to think about business processes because personalization technology is not magic, right? It requires content to be matched with that person. And so, you know, there's some business processes that have to occur in the background. But that's the first thing I would think about is where people are knowable. And for B2B, it's generally very few, but where they are knowable, think about what personalization technology you're going to use to address those folks.
Got it. Okay.
The second area, and especially for B2B, is because so few of those people are knowable, the second piece of your strategy should be where I can discern some additional data about the individual, how do I address them? And this usually means account-based marketing. And again, just a caution, I probably say this more often, account-based marketing is not a technology, it is a business strategy, right? It is a business strategy that says, if I can't know the person, but I might be able to discern something about the company, perhaps, and then perhaps understand their industry, what information am I going to share with that person so that I can get them to engage in the marketing and engage in sales? And there are technologies that allow you to do that. So that's the second piece is if you can execute an account-based marketing business strategy, get a technology that allows you then to use digital to help further that strategy. And that's, you know, technologies that look at the data stream and can identify, oh, this person is from this physical location associated with this company that's in this industry. Now let me serve them some content that's very specific to pains in that industry and, of course, the solutions to that pain.
Yep.
And then the final area is all the rest. Because, you know, when you look at the data, you know, very small portion, low single digits as a percentage of your total visitors are personally identifiable. You know, maybe another 10, 20% are identifiable by company slash industry. And that still leaves, you know, 80%, 70% of visitors who are unidentifiable. And the question for you then is, you know, what do you do then? And of course, I'm not going to make any additional shameless plugs for our Guidebox technology, but you know, we have a technology that does look at anonymous visitor data, behavioral data, to try to figure out, you know, what's going on there. And so what other things can you get from your data stream? And then what content, what business processes are you going to use in addition to the technology to help engage those folks and progress them along their journey?
Well, makes sense. And not to revisit last week's episode two weeks ago's episode in gross detail. But I mean, obviously everything we started this conversation talking about, you know, we only expect those trends to accelerate. You know, when you talk about the number of people who you can't identify, particularly with more people working at home, particularly with more people, you know, connecting through their own setup with people on mobile, with browser changes, with regulatory changes and the like,
right,
the number of people who you cannot identify, you know, the folks listening to this should only expect that number who you cannot identify to grow. Right. I wanted to make sure I didn't do too many negatives there. That was
It will grow. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, this problem is only going to become more acute. I think part of the way companies will address this is to get to kind of up their first party data game. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, the easy way to solve this problem was, you know, just to go out and buy some data source that,
right,
that was a big library of data. And of course, regulatory changes, as well as, are going to kind of limit the availability of that information over time. And the browser changes, this kind of, you know, death of cookies future, is going to limit the ability of, even if you could get that data, for it to be meaningful, because of course, cookies are the way you connect people. And while this is, I think, you know, the alarm system is sounding most loudly in the ad space. So if you're an ad tech or you're a big buyer of ads, you know, that's the place that I think the most immediate pain is going to be felt. But if you look at then downstream, once you get people on your site, right, how do you identify them? How do you track, this person was here on Tuesday, now they're back here on Thursday? You know, how do you track that? And it's through the browser technologies that relies upon cookies. And so, right, I think we're very, while again, the most acute pain, the closest to the cash flow pain, is now in the ad business. You know, marketers are beginning to realize that, oh yeah, this has some very real implications. And so refocusing your efforts on gathering first party data, I think, is an important part of any strategy, because where you do have the ability to engage somebody and get them to give you your information as a trade for value, maybe for a white paper or that sort of thing, you bet, get that and keep it, because, you know, over time, this third party data is, or lack of third party data, is going to become a big problem.
No, it makes perfect sense. Well, and I think you kind of came up with the title of the episode today from a certain perspective when you said, you know, ABM is not a technology, it's a business strategy, right? Yeah. I mean, it's this whole idea of, what I love about what you were just talking about is, it is very often, and let's face it, we make a piece of martech, so we like when people look for tools. Yes. But too often what people do when they have a problem is they go, well, what's a tool that can solve this for me, rather than saying, what is the strategy? And then saying, what are the tools that I need to enable that strategy, right? We want you to get to the part where you say, hey, what's the tool?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the reasons we titled our report, you know, website engagement, right? The challenges about website engagement. Right. And we didn't say, like, you know, the best personalization strategy, you know, it's just like, because you really have to go back to the source, you know, what is the source of the business problem? And then what is the business strategy that's going to solve it? And the technology is the tool, right? It's the thing that helps you then achieve the business strategy, because again, everybody's digital, right? It's all, you know, all our interactions, or majority of our interactions right now, are digital. But yeah, you really do have to start with that, you know, that business strategy. And again, it doesn't have to be some grand thought. You know, I just kind of outlined, here's three ways you should be thinking about engagement.
Of course.
So use, you know, maybe instead of strategy, frameworks, right? Just create a framework, right? That's going to allow you to approach the problem. And that's how you get started. But have the framework. Don't have the, I need a personalization technology, I'd love to sell you one. But, you know, at the same time, you know, what is your pain? Where is your pain? Because if I sell you something that doesn't solve the pain, that doesn't help you, you know, kind of progress your business, you know, neither of us are going to be very happy.
Right. So the key takeaway, it sounds like, for this episode is, you know, make sure you use the right framework, and then buy Guidebox.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then send me your money. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, this kind of rounds out, I think, our website engagement report discussion. But, and, you know, we started back at the beginning of this discussion, just talking about, you know, kind of some of the broader things that are happening around data privacy, around kind of this acceleration of digital. We talked a little bit about more about that today, and kind of what does, how are the changes over the past year going to stick? And I don't think anybody can, you know, it would be a fool's errand to try to say, oh, 30% of the change is going to stick. We know some portion of it's going to change, right? Stick. And I think your point is a really good one, the one you made earlier, which is, if I told you that your business was going to shift in a certain direction by 10%, you'd pay attention, right? So we could quibble on whether it's 5%, 10%, or 50%. But it's going to shift, and it's a shift that's already been occurring. And if you were behind the earlier portion of this shift, I think not only are we going to see that 10% or whatever the number is, but that's going to accelerate, right? Because, you know, change begets change. It's not like, you know, change occurs and then it stops. And I think as the people who do business with us, you know, expect these more personalized experiences, these more engaging experiences, they're just going to expect more, right? Amazon didn't, you know, nail books and then stop, right? They nailed books and then they're just kind of marching through the world, you know, really, you know, doing much better at almost every product category than anybody else. And the reason is because the expectations of their customers shifted and the expectations of their customers accelerated. And they matched it and they're winning. And that's, I think, a lesson for all of us, right? How are we going to take advantage of this shift? And how are we going to use the acceleration of that change in order to win in the marketplace?
Sounds like a perfect place to leave it, Steve. You know, before we wrap up, I do want to remind people, we will put a link to the report that we've referenced a couple times here in the show notes, but you can go there directly by going to solosegment.com/website-engagement. Again, that's solosegment.com/website-engagement. With that, Steve, any last words of wisdom?
No, I think all the wisdom is drained out. Thanks very much, Tim.
Thank you very much, Steve. Great talking with you, and we'll talk to you next time.
Take care.
Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Make your search better and learn more at solosegment.com. If you liked the show, please go ahead and subscribe to us. You can find our episodes at solosegment.com/podcast or on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. With that, my name is Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time on Search Chat. Take care, everybody.